Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, October 17th. The recent events in Las Vegas have many people wondering what they can do to help address gun violence in this country. For some, it means calling their congressperson or signing petitions. For one man in Colorado Springs, it means offering people a symbolic way to dispose of their firearms. His organization, founded in 2013, is called Raw Tools. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KRCC in Colorado Springs, Jake Brownell reports that the group takes unwanted guns and turns them into gardening tools.
In a small garage in Colorado Springs, Mike Martin pulls a glowing hot piece of steel from a roaring tabletop forge. Using a pair of tongs, he places it onto an anvil and pounds it flat.
We're just working on a garden tool. It's a two-sided tool. One side is a hoe and the other side is a fork. So it's like just a handheld tool. It came from about 6 to 8 inches of a gun barrel.
About half a dozen gun barrels sit on a nearby shop table.
You can make different tools out of different barrels. So shotgun barrels we make little hand spades out of because they're thinner and they're already almost in that finished state. We just kind of have to fillet them open to become a garden tool. And then something like an assault rifle is thicker barrels to handle the higher rate of fire. So those make this garden-matic that we're making now.
Martin's a practicing Anabaptist Mennonite. He says a verse from the Old Testament inspired him to start Raw Tools.
So in Isaiah chapter 2 and in Micah chapter 4, it talks about beating your swords to plowshares. Nation will not lift up sword against nation nor train for war anymore.
He wanted to apply that idea in a modern context.
Swords of today are the guns and the plowshares of today are garden tools. So,
the guns are donated, either by individuals or by groups around the country that organize community gun buybacks. After they're transformed into garden tools, Martin usually returns them to the donor, gives the tools to a community garden, or sells them to the public to raise money for operating expenses.
They're quality tools, so they're worth both the price because of their quality, but also because of what stands behind them.
Martin says he'd been thinking about doing something like this for many years, but it was the shooting at Sandy Hook in 2012 that finally motivated him to start Raw Tools.
The same amount of people that were killed were also the same number that was in my wife's first grade class. And so although I don't have a direct connection to gun violence myself, that was kind of one of the ways that it brought it home for me.
He was so moved that he bought a forge and started learning traditional blacksmithing techniques. Once he was comfortable, he began traveling the country, offering demonstrations and allowing people to try their hand at pounding a gun barrel into the shape of a garden tool. It seemed to provide a kind of catharsis, especially for those who'd been directly affected by gun violence.
The idea is you bang on the barrel when it's orange and glowing, and that's when it's malleable. But when you have a mother who's lost their son to gun violence when he was 3, and she starts pounding on that gun barrel, you don't really care that it's dark and cold. You just let her pound away because you know, you recognize that it's doing something for her.
Martin says the blacksmithing process has a similarly therapeutic effect for him, particularly in the wake of mass tragedies, like the recent shooting in Las Vegas.
You know, me personally, I couldn't wait to get to the forge today after the Las Vegas shooting because it was a tangible way for me to kind of unload some emotion in a controlled environment.
In the nearly 4 years since he started Raw Tools, Martin estimates he's taken in a couple hundred guns and made around 60 garden tools. Tiny numbers in comparison to the nearly 300 million guns in America. He says he recognizes the complexity of the gun debate and doesn't expect to turn all the nation's firearms into spades and hoes. But he sees a role for organizations like his, which advocate for nonviolence at the grassroots level, provide a ritual space for processing grief, and offer symbolic tools for sowing peace in the world.
So we've got an olive branch that goes through the anvil in our logo, and so we put that olive branch on our handle so that when you're literally gripping an olive branch as kind of a promise of peace, peaceful way forward.
For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Jake Brownell.
The Denver region submitted its bid for Amazon's second headquarters yesterday. Benta Berkland has more.
Amazon announced this summer that it wanted to build a second headquarters outside of Seattle. A big part of Denver's pitch will be centered on lifestyle and the state's mix of cultural and outdoor recreation and a strong economy. J.J. Mentz is CEO of the Metro Denver Economic Development Corporation and helping to put together the bid.
We don't get into the business of competing for relocations or expansions financially the way the other states do. And so we're going to rely on all of those strengths that we have as a community that we think are going to be attractive more than we're going to rely on what is a temporary financial package.
Up to 50,000 jobs and potentially $5 billion in infrastructure spending is at stake. Some residents worry that Amazon locating in Colorado would lead to even worse traffic and cause housing prices to go up. I'm Benta Berkland.
Environmental and health advocates have released a new analysis and interactive map that shows how many Colorado children and young adults attend daycare, schools, or colleges near oil and gas operations in the state. Eric Galatis has the story.
Does your child go to school or daycare near an active oil or gas well? A new interactive map can help you find out. The map was created using data from the Department of Education to show not only the location, but the total enrollment of daycare centers, primary and secondary schools, colleges, and universities within a half mile of active oil and gas production. Christine Berg, mayor of Lafayette, says the map is useful for parents concerned about the potential health effects of living close to production facilities, including elevated cancer risks and increased asthma attacks.
You can actually plug in your address and you can look and see how many oil and gas wells are nearby. What it highlights is where kids spend a majority of their day. They may not live near oil and gas, but they may have it near their schools or their daycare or child care centers.
Lafayette passed a climate bill of rights and protections this year that mentions the need to be free from waste and pollution associated with energy development. The oil and gas industry says it's working to reduce emissions of harmful pollutants from wells and infrastructure. More than 50,000 children attend 140 schools in Colorado within a half mile of oil and gas facilities, and nearly a quarter million residents live within that same threat radius. And Alan Septoff with the group Earthworks says the new emphasis on fossil fuel development from Washington, D.C. makes information about potential health threats critically important.
The Trump administration's Environmental Protection Agency is trying to roll back safeguards that are intended to reduce the kind of pollution that causes these health impacts.
Berg argues that even though Colorado has its own laws on the books to limit pollution from oil and gas wells, as production continues to move closer to where people live, federal protections are also necessary.
As we know, air crosses state boundaries. So although we may have the toughest regulations in Colorado, we see methane clouds come in from Utah and other parts of the country.
The map is online at oilandgasthreatmap.com. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.